today is really kind of our kickoff emphasis to missional living, or mission life, as it were. And so we are going to hear some testimonies today. We also have a friend of mine, Jeremiah Brinkman, who is going to be coming and bringing some greetings from North American Mission Board. It's a little more relaxed. As you can see, I don't have my normal attire on, and I did that purposely because even the time in the Word is going to be a little bit different. And again, it was kind of planned that way from the beginning of the week. It's not going to be a full sermon, but it's more like a challenge to us about missional life. And so what I would have is Randy come. He's going to bring a testimony this morning about, he was one of the guys that you saw in the pictures there. He is going to, and Karen is also going to come here in a little bit. Randy's going to start us off with a few minutes of just telling us how God used him and what God showed him in this time.
Good morning, everybody. Karen's probably going to say a lot of things of what I'm going to say, but we'll go from there. Let me just clear some things off. Thank you for Marcia Westfall. Amen. She was our photographer, cinematographer, whatever. She tried to capture all this, so thanks to her. This is a 4-minute video, believe it or not. 10 days worth of stuff, there's no way you could get everything in there in this morning service. That being said, she is working on a video, and that may be able for purchase, right, Marcia? We can get some extra mission funds up. And well, anyway, she's going to be doing that, and we'll be showing it at some point, and we'll make that announcement. Either we'll do it at...
It'll be more descriptive.
It'll be more descriptive. It'll be very in-depth. I'm thinking you're looking at, what, 6 hours now, Marcia? Maybe? I don't know. But it's very descriptive. Every place we went to, it just delves into why we are there. My mind is still processing all the places that we've seen and so forth. Other thing I want to say before I get started, happy anniversary. This is a testimony to my parents. Their anniversary was yesterday. 62 years of wedded bliss. So I'm not quite that old. I'm getting there, but they're confined to their house now, and they don't get live stream or anything. I can say it for them. So they've been very blessed. We've been blessed to have them. That being said, Marcia's birthday is this Tuesday. She gets to catch up to me. So break the ice here. I know this is all informal, so I don't think he minds. He hasn't taken my mic away from me yet. But thank you for all your support, all your prayers, and the ones that have gave to our trip. God worked through everyone. Thanks for the mission committee as well, too. They gave some of their funds for us, too. I was blessed. I don't know, a lot of you guys know I bowl on Monday nights. I've been in this league for almost 40 years. It is a church league, but it is a fun league. They knew I was going to Israel. I gave them a letter, gave them an option. They just blew me away of their prayers and their support. I actually had one guy like every picture that we posted on Facebook. He followed us right along through all the sites we went. So I think that was definitely encouraging to us, and it was encouraging to him with being over there for so far. That's got plenty of stories. I think that was my good introduction. This was our first mission trip that we had ever taken. I'm speaking for my wife and myself. We've always had a heart to do that. It just wasn't the right time with working and so forth. I think most of you know I am retired now. I retired in March. So this was just when Eric said, oh, we're going to go to Israel. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, we are. We're going. So I didn't know what to expect on our first mission trip. He's asked me what changed me, and I think my biggest thing was perception of the people that live there. I don't know if I was clueless or blind to what, There's only 1.5% evangelical Christians, I think, that live in Israel. Do I have that right, Eric? Something like that, 4,000 people. There's Arabs, you know, Muslims. There's some Orthodox. But ministering to those kids, we had 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and Karen was part of our group as well. She might go with a little more insight about what we did. We had the prayer station. But the first day was a little bit rough. I felt like I didn't do a thing. We didn't do anything to minister to the kids. It was complete chaos. But me, you saw a picture of Mimi and Mike up there. Those are the two that hosted us and part of the Nazareth Baptist School there. We changed things around for the second day, made some adjustments, and the kids were wonderful. I mean, these kids are just, they're smart. We had the one picture of Marcia and myself, and the young girl was actually a principal's daughter, and she was our translator. We needed her for a few times, but for the most part, these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders can speak very well English. So my main emphasis, my heart has been changed for these kids and for the people of Israel. Here they're living in the Holy Land, and they have no clue what's going on. So hopefully this is the first part of our journey for missions. Not sure what the Lord has in store for us, but my life's been definitely changed. Like I said, I'm still processing all the places we went to, and with the biblical history and the regular history. You're talking about we're going to be singing this last song, and it just reminded me of kings and kingdoms will fall down, but the name of Jesus will not pass away. Something like that. We were at a place where there was 30 civilizations. There's these layers. So when the civilization starts, somebody comes in, they tear it down, they build again, and that just constantly, that's the history. There was a place where it had 30 different layers of history. But here we're thousands of years later, we're still talking about the name of Jesus. He's still changing lives. If you have any questions, Karen's here. Anna went with us. Catherine and Eric went with us. We're just busting to explain everything. I hope I'm not taking too much time now. But yeah, that was definitely changed from my life.
Okay. Praise the Lord. No, that's good.
You know,
so we put it out there for who is interested in going, and obviously there's a large number, and as things get down, it kind of melts itself down to a certain group of people that really can commit to it. And Randy and Marcia have been a part of this congregation for lots and lots of years. They've watched us go on mission years, and literally probably almost a decade, right? And typically every year we do some kind of foreign trip. We do something locally. We do something regionally. And so we have done a lot in the years that they've been here. And it really didn't click until you were already on with me that this was your first time. And so I sat back and I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting to watch. And you know what? It was the whole thing was just so flexible, and they were flexible and able to be used. It was very awesome to be able to sit back and watch people that were engaging with a different culture for the first time in their lives. And this part of what you do, I don't know if it's something that you're familiar with, other cultures. It's always phenomenal to go and to worship with a different people group and to see that we are serving the same God. Believers in Christ, we come together. We have hearts that melt together instantaneously. And so that's a beautiful thing. We're going to bring our little gimp up here. Come on. Karen, she walks with a cane, and she doesn't mind us saying it. Well, maybe she does, but we were going to say it anyways. You know, Karen was in it from the start, right? You said, this is it. And I'm not sure how this is going to work. I'm not sure how we'll get it. Because you get to Israel, and you walk. The first day of walking was how many steps?
10,000.
10,000 steps, 13,000 steps. Yeah, we could do that. You want? Okay. All right. Well, if you need it, I see you teetering, I'll bring you up. All right. So, Karen, went into it with lots of questions, lots of wondering how we're going to be able to do this.
And I have to say, I know you're amazed, but Catherine and I, every day, we'd get back to our hotel and we're like, how in the world did she do that? Because the first day, just in itself, we're just like, wow, that was the second day. We're like, wow, that was even more. And she just kept on going. So here, this is your testimony.
You want to hold this for me? I can't hold paper and a microphone at the same time. As has already been said, it was a positively amazing trip. Whatever adjective could be used for it has been used. And there just aren't words to say. But I want to share with you from the start a verse that God made very powerful to me. Hopefully I can do this. Ephesians 3:20. All glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. I have heard and memorized this verse multiple times over my lifetime, but I don't think I have ever felt it as powerfully as that I did on this trip. I expressed an interest pretty early on and talked to my sons, who are kind of more or less in control of my life, and they were both really enthusiastic for me to do it. Pastor Eric asked us to send out letters asking people for prayer support and financial support. So I got busy and made lists of all my friends and relatives and people on email, people on snail mail, both believers and not believers, which was something a little bit new for me to do because I've never thought it was quite right to ask an unbeliever for a mission trip. But I figured out that perhaps that was part of my mission, was my testimony to these people who would give, not being believers. God just amazed me. Every day, checks were coming in. My brother's been living with me, and one day he said, "Did I get any mail today?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, you have a handful." He said, "How many checks came in the mail today?" And I said, "3. He goes, "Good grief, that's crazy." So I looked at them and said, "Oh, this one's from that one, then that one." He said, "I'm going to be left in the dust if I don't get on board here," and got up and went, got his checkbook, and wrote me a check, which was just beyond one of my wilder imaginations. God blessed me so, so much. Some of my friends from here, Eric included, didn't think it was really a very smart idea for me to do this. I don't walk very well. I have tremors. I fall if you breathe on me a little too hard. And it had happened just recently. It was 2 Fridays before we were to leave on the trip, and I was in a restaurant with my brother and decided that was a great place to fall. Fell sideways on my hip, and I thought, "Dear Lord, please don't let me have a broken hip." At my age, that's what you think of first. A woman who was standing nearby very graciously offered to help me up off the floor, and she was so gentle. She picked me up and asked if I needed to stand there for a few minutes, and I said, "No, I need to sit down." She took me to the closest table and sat me down. So I was sitting down, realized my arm was bleeding, and I had scuffed it up pretty badly on the rug. So I asked my brother to go out and get my first aid kit out of my car, and he brought it in, and I bandaged up my arm. But there's not much more embarrassing than falling in a restaurant full of people wanting their lunch. So I got home, and I thought, "Karen, what are you thinking to go on this trip?" But by then, it was too late to back out. Not that I'm sure I would have anyway. I started praying for God to help me be safe, to help me figure out how to walk on the kinds of surfaces we would be walking on, which was mostly cobblestone, rough stones, anything that had to be climbed over. Everything was uphill or downhill. But I thought, okay, here I am. got my suitcase packed, got on the plane, and we got off the plane. And just like Eric said, as soon as we got off, thank you, as soon as we got off, we were headed for some sightseeing. So, okay, got the cane going well, and somebody relieved me of my backpack. Someone always relieved me of my backpack. Someone always grabbed my arm, whether I asked for it or not. I was going to enjoy being in the land where Jesus walked, to be able to sing a very old hymn, "I Walk Today Where Jesus Walked." And boy, that is phenomenal to be able to do that. From the start, everyone was helping me, whether I wanted it or didn't want it. And I've already told you about the kind of surfaces we walked on, almost never flat pavement. And I was determined I wasn't going to miss anything more than I needed to. I was usually at the end of the line, lagging behind, poking along, but I really didn't care. I've been last in line before, and I'll do it again. But I was able somehow to do nearly everything that the team did. I'd get up in the morning, and I'd say, wow, I feel quite good today. I'm going to get this today. So we'd go and charge around all over the place for hours and hours. We didn't just go sightseeing for a few hours. It was usually like 9 in the morning till 7 at night at least, going all kinds of places. Someone always had a hold of my shirt or my arm, and with God's grace, I managed to stay on 2 feet the entire time, which made me really happy, and I'm sure everyone else too. But there was one day toward the end, whatever it was we were looking at, had a huge number of stairs. And some were wood, some were metal, some were stone. And the farther down these stairs we went, it got really, really dark because we were in a cave. And that really scared me. I didn't trust myself to be able to walk in the dark. And so I started to panic a little bit. And Pastor Eric's mother-in-law was right in front of me, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm not sure because I can't see anything." She said, "Oh, what was I thinking?" Oh, this was Catherine now. Catherine says, "What am I thinking? Here's a flashlight." And she turned the flashlight on her phone onto my feet. And the very first thing I thought of was the verse that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And it was the encouragement that I needed to finish that. And I went up a small flight of stairs to the outside where the rest of the team already was. They were waiting and greeted me with cheering and clapping, which embarrassed me a little bit, but I was so glad to have been out. And that was the only time in the entire trip that I didn't trust my legs. They were quivering and I couldn't stand up, and so I think we just sat down for a little while. But the time with the kids in the school was precious time. These children, 6th through 8th graders, are in a Christian school, hearing about Jesus every single day they're in school. They're taught that Jesus loves all of us, and Jesus died for us to save us from our sins. Most of them have not accepted that message. Randy and Marcia and I worked with the kids on prayer, developing prayer habits, and what they could pray for, and things like that. We had some really fun activities for them, which you kind of saw on the video there. And one day, I was trying to get the kids started, and this one girl was off by herself, just sitting down, not doing anything, and I went over and talked to her. I said, "Wouldn't you like to participate?" And she folded her arms across her chest and said, "No, I don't want to participate." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because I'm Muslim." And I said, "Well, that doesn't need to stop you from participating, because God loves Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike. And in Israel, you're either Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. And Christian covers anything, whether they're true believers or not." So I told her that, and she just kind of shrugged her shoulders and turned away from me. So I said, "Not a problem." So I walked away. A few minutes later, I looked, and she had attached herself to a group of three other girls that she was talking to, and they were actually doing the activity they were supposed to. So what we may have left these kids with in our ministry time, I think, is really, really valuable. And I just feel so blessed to be able to have done that. But every single morning, I got up feeling really great, but by the time I got back to the hotel at night, I could barely walk anymore. I was in so much pain. So I did what I have to do for pain, went to bed, and lo and behold, slept all night, every night. Got up the next morning feeling great. That hasn't happened to me before. Usually I just don't get any additional freedom from the pain. But God saw that I needed that, so he provided it for me from Ephesians 1:20 again. Places I've read in the Bible now look real to me. I don't have to think about or make up any way I think Bethlehem or Jerusalem or the Jordan River looked. And it was just such a pleasure to step into the Jordan River and just stand there and realize the baptisms that had taken place there. Our guides were super knowledgeable about the history that they were talking about, as well as the biblical history. And they were just so informative and so helpful to really make it come alive for us. And it made me think back to our Zoom Bible study we've been doing on the life of David. We just finished it. And there was so much there about David. And it just thrilled me to be able to see that. And then in John, in church, the guides frequently talked about John, the apostle. So God made all these things real for me. I doubt that I'll be able to ever do another trip like that. And Pastor Eric probably says, thank you very much. God has blessed me in the 9 years I've been in this church to be part of three different mission trips. And this one, I have to say, probably stands out above all the rest. I always say you can't compare them because none of them are the same. But this one was in the land where Jesus walked. And thank you for supporting us as a church and as individuals and for praying for us.
So, good morning. I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. And thanks for braving the snow. We had a little bit down where Marilla, so just a little bit of snow there too. It was a beautiful drive up though. And I think just reflecting on that song and God's glory and his creativeness to see the trees covered in snow and the ground covered in snow, and it's a beauty. It really is. And just it's easy in our pace of life sometimes to stop or not stop and just look around us and see what God's doing and how he's at work. And so in my role, I serve with the North American Mission Board with the SEND Network. So my job is to oversee church planting across the state of New York. And so I get to see a lot. Sometimes I get to see it from the 30,000-foot view of what we're doing, where we're trying to go, and what we're trying to accomplish. And it's all for the God's glory. It's so that the gospel can be made known in every village and hamlet and town and city across our state and across our region. And that's why I do what I do. There's no other agenda. It is to serve the Lord. It's to make the gospel known. And so I am privileged to be here standing before you today. It's because of you. It's because we cooperate together as churches that I can actually be here and I can actually do the job that I do. And so I'm grateful for you. I want you to know that. I'm grateful for your church. I'm grateful for churches like this across our country that are enabling me to be able to do the job that I do, to help guys like Eric and his family who are working with Sheridan Parkside and engaging here even in Buffalo. And so it is really just amazing to see over the years what I've got gotten to watch God do. Came to New York, I think, for the very first time about 10 years ago. I'll never forget flying into New York City and then driving up to the Adirondacks to take a look at a church plant, church revitalization that they were asking us to do. And honestly, we had a year before that just returned home from China with the IMB. And I remember thinking, we must be out of our minds. Why would we come to New York? And so I'll never forget a conversation I had with another pastor in a little cafe in Port Henry, New York. And the waitress that was taking our order overheard the conversation I was having with Pastor Ryan Schneider over at Saranac Lake Baptist Church. And she says, she goes, what denomination are you guys? I overheard your conversation. And I said, well, honestly, I don't really want to answer your question. I didn't say that exactly like that, but that's what I was thinking. And I said, well, I said, I'm a Jesus follower, and I believe the Bible. And she goes, she looks at me sort of a puzzled look, and she says, so what denomination is that again? And I was like, I didn't really want to answer your question the first time. I said, well, I'd be most closely affiliated with the church down the street, the Baptist church down the street. So that pretty much sufficed for her. And so I said, you know, where are you from? And, you know, why? Where do you go to church? And she goes, well, I don't go anywhere. And I said, well, that figures. You're going to press me, but you don't go anywhere. Okay, I see how this is. And I said, well, why don't you go anywhere? And I'll never forget what she told me. She says, because there's nowhere for me to go. And it just rocked my world. Because God had sent us to China, overseas, to serve him there. And then he had brought us home. We weren't exactly sure why he had brought us home. And it resonated back to when I was 18, when I committed my life to missions, to go to the least served places. That's what was part of my call to ministry. And I just never thought that would be New York. I never thought that would even be the case. And here I'm listening to this lady in this restaurant who's telling me that that is the case. And so her story was a little bit of a Samaritan woman type story. And there really was nowhere for her to go. And so that just sort of rocked my world. So on the way home from that trip, on the flight back, I wrote about a 2.5-3-page paper to myself and the Lord of why I thought it was a dumb idea. And then we got to the Atlanta airport. We were getting gas in the car, and I looked at Becca right before I got gas, and I said, we must be out of our minds. I already knew. I knew that we had to say yes. And so we did. We moved to New York. 3 months later, in the middle of January, and I think we had a foot of snow to welcome us. So we've been here ever since. And honestly, I don't see us leaving anytime soon because there's so much left to do. And so as I think about what we have to do here in Buffalo and this region here and what needs to be done in Rochester and Syracuse and Albany and Binghamton and Ithaca, and I've got a guy in Plattsburgh, New York, which is right near the border in Montreal. There is so much left to do. And so I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I am thankful for you. I want you to know that. Because you represent the, I hate to use the word remnant, but those that we need to send. And you represent, this church represents a beach house, a beachfront of the gospel. And so for this community and the surrounding communities. And so I just want you to know from me, I'm thankful for you. And this doesn't happen without you. It's a team effort. And so just a few months ago, when we were dealing with the aftermath of the shooting here in Buffalo, it was just an honor to come and serve with Eric in the Sheridan Parkside and the
Jefferson Avenue.
Outreach, yeah, okay. I was like, I can't remember what you called it, but that was great. So, but just to come alongside and to serve and to serve food, to set up the bounce houses, did anybody here make cotton candy? That's the nastiest job ever, but thank you if you did that because you just get covered in sugar the whole time. So anyways, but it was amazing to watch just God use the church in a place where there's hurting, there's brokenness, and there's healing that needs to take place, and that happens through the person of Jesus. We know that. And so what an amazing opportunity that he's given us to do that right where we're at. And so I just want to encourage you that we are moving forward. Regardless of what the current state is, we are moving forward. And so my heart is that we will see literally a church in New York, 20-minute, 25-minute, something like that, drive, ride, or walk from everybody. That's what I want to see. I really do want to see that. Some of the places where I was planting churches in the Adirondacks are little forgotten places. That's what they are. They're little forgotten places. They're not New York City, you know. They're not Buffalo. But the reality is the gospel needs to go there too. And we have an obligation as believers to make the gospel known in all places, everywhere. And so that's part of what we do. We want to help churches, plant churches everywhere for everyone. And so it doesn't matter what people group, what language, we don't care. We want to see it happen. And so I want you to know that I'm, one, grateful for you, but I am also charging you. We need your help to get this done. This does not happen with just the North American Mission Board, and this is not just Jeremiah's mission. This is our mission together. And so I want you to know that I want to be a resource to this church and churches across our region, but at the same time, I want you with me is what I'm trying to say. I want you as a church. I want you even as individuals. And I want you to know that I'm incredibly blessed to know that you guys are already engaged with Eric and Catherine and their family as they work on Sheridan Parkside and that effort, because that's not easy work. I know that. And so just this last week, I guess this last month, I've gotten to see a couple works across the state that are very similar. And so I just want to encourage you that you guys are sort of on the front end of that, honestly. And so some of these other folks are going to be coming to you. Eric doesn't even know this yet, but they're going to be coming to you for some guidance on how they're doing what they're doing, because there's learned and shared knowledge in what you're already doing. And so I just want you to be encouraged in that. I want you to know that it is not going unnoticed. Please know that. You are very much noticed, and very much I'm very appreciative of what God's doing and what you guys are doing to make sure that happens. So thank you.
Stick around here a second. Let's go pray for you, okay? Just want to tie some connecting points here. So I am, and Catherine, we are NAM missionaries, okay? Some of you are, it's difficult for you to kind of see that because I've been around here forever, here at this church. But 5 years ago, when we began looking at Sheridan Parkside as being an outreach, we needed a place, a platform that would support us and kind of oversee us in that. And North American Mission Board, which is part of our Southern Baptist community, that was the obvious place to go. And so if I recall correctly, 5 years ago, I think you were on our board that kind of oversaw whether we were suited for mission work or not. And Catherine and I,
yes.
And Catherine and I went through grueling times of just
not so grueling.
What's that?
Not so grueling.
Oh, it was grueling. That was they put us under the microscope, very, very much so. And we came out of it, and they said, "Yeah, you can do this." And so you guys kind of came along with us at that point, and that's where Sheridan Parkside developed out of. We also want to, at this point, just as long as we're talking about Sheridan Parkside, what an encouraging ministry that has been, particularly in the last couple months. The new folks that have been showing up to our church services on Sunday evenings have just been, it's been such a blessing. So, so needy, yes. Homeless are coming. There are lots of people with lots of issues. But that's Sheridan Parkside. Some of you are deeply involved in that and coming out. And the numbers that we have, like Karen and Karen, particularly from this church that come out and support, they are, that's what we need there. Just people who are there just to love and to serve and to pour their lives into. That's the mission. And we still might not have much more than 10, 15, 20 on any given day. But the numbers that are size, sometimes we kind of go, sometimes all the kids show up. We had 15 kids, I think, show up the one night. I think they're more interested in the dinner that we serve after at 5, but they were there, and they listened. They were there for the entire service. And this is the work of Send Network. This is what you are part of. This is why Jeremiah is here today. It's because he and them have served us as we have served alongside together. So we want to lift up the Brinkman family. They've come in from New York City, moved for God knows what reason to Marilla, because now they're buried in snow up to here. But, you know, they'll learn next time you move. You'll learn to come to the light side. But, Lord, we want to lift up the Brinkman family to you. We want to thank you for, first of all, bringing them here today and making it possible. But also, Lord God, bringing them to this area and to this region. To have them close to us, to have them cooperate with us missionally. And Lord God, we just lift them up as a family, the ladies of the house as well as Jeremiah. And I pray, Father God, that you would just undergird them, strengthen them, keep their eyes focused upon you, O God. Help them to stand firmly and well in your word. I pray for those young ladies, Lord God, they may stand firmly in the power of your might, that they may know you intimately. And I pray, Father God, that as this family moves forward and in their mission of supporting church plants and mission churches, that, Lord God, that you just bless them. Give them the joy of the Lord as their strength. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you, brother. Thank you. Our holy Lord God, we look forward to that day when it is no longer necessary for us to proclaim you, because you will be seen by all. You will be known by all. Your glory will be seen for all of eternity, and we, your people, will be there at your throne. We pray in the meantime, Lord God, that you will draw us into mission alongside of you, that you would give us purpose, Lord God, to see people come to that same beautiful worship here on this earth, that you, Lord God, may be known, that you, Lord God, would be worshipped, that you, God, would be lifted up, not only in this place, but in the hearts of many. We pray this in your name, and by your power and by your grace, Lord God, may it be. Amen. Amen. Not going to do this like we normally do. I'm not going to. Our time is short, but it's been calculated that way. The expectation has been there. I really want to talk to you today more of a. We're going to be hitting scripture and such, but we're pulling away from the book of John for a little bit. These next 2 weeks will be on missional life, a call to missional life. Next week we'll have a special guest speaker. Friend of mine as well, Ben Hand, who is a great missionary, is a force to be reckoned with on the mission field. He's a dear friend. He's worked with us at Sheridan Parkside as well as all kinds of ministry up in the north towards Lake Ontario. And yeah, I think you'll really enjoy Ben next week. He's a no fooling around kind of a guy. He's really just right to it. And then we're going to be going into our time of Advent for the month of December. And we're really going to be focusing on how Old Testament meets up with what we've been talking about in the book of John. We're really going to be focusing largely upon the book of Isaiah in those weeks. This is a work in a sort, a work in the making, because Scott and I have been like two ships passing in the night. You know, I've been gone. And I came back, and he's now gone for the next couple of weeks. And so we're just communicating with each other from afar. But that's what's in the motion, just to let you know that we'll go through the end of December and really just be hitting upon those main points. We have a special thing. You should probably mark it. Look it on your calendar and realize that Christmas falls on Sunday morning. Or actually, it falls on Sunday altogether. December 25th is a Sunday. So you might want to take mention of or thought about that and how you're going to work that out. Sometimes that works for you, sometimes not. Our family, as many of you know, we have met here on Sunday morning, or I should say on Christmas morning, pretty much every year of our married life, I believe, just about. And we have usually a small group that would meet here, but we welcome all of you to consider coming out on that Sunday morning to a special Christmas service, which will be our last Advent focus as well that morning. We have Christmas Eve the night before, so we're not trying to overdo it for you, but that Christmas Eve is a candlelight service. It's a wonderful time for us to gather, and we usually have a fantastic time. T- today, talking about mission life, I want to talk to you again through Matthew 5, 14 and through 16 as our starting point. And again, this is not a full sermon, but it's kind of like a charge to us as a church. How does the Great Commission and the Great Commandments meet together in our mission, in our vision, in our statement of life, our purpose? If I were to ask you, as I asked the youth on Friday, what is the Great Commandment? And you would say, starts out with love. That's right. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, if you remember what happens here, a legalist comes to Jesus and is asking, Master, Rabbi, you're trying to trick him up, right? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, without missing a beat, just says that exactly. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened unto it. The second is likened unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets, they hinge upon these two things. Love God and love others. Love mankind. The Great Commission, we find at the end of Matthew, chapter 28. And if I were to ask you what that is, I bet you would be able to know that too. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. Lord, I'm with you to the end of the age. These two things, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, they work together because they charge us as a body, as a church, as the church, the kind of thing that Jeremiah was talking about holistically across the state, across what Karen and Randy were talking about, across the world. We as believers in Christ are charged with this, to love God, to love others, and by loving others, I mean go and preach the gospel to every nation and bring them to an understanding of who God is. This is the great things that God has called us to. You want to know what your purpose is? It is to glorify God. How do you glorify God the best? I'm so glad you asked, because this is what it says in Matthew about that. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so many times we get through this, and even some weeks ago we got through this, and our whole focus a couple weeks ago when we talked about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, what did we say? We came to this and we said, you are the light of the world. We focus on light and we focus on salt. And we sometimes miss the context of what he is saying there. You are called to be salt. That means influential. You are called to be light. And if you look at what he says here, let me back it up. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. He started out by saying a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Think about these things. If you're the light of the world, you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. How many of you have lived hidden Christian lives? How many of us? How many minutes of the week have we lived as hidden Christians? But no one takes a lamp and sticks underneath a bushel. Why would you do that? You've got the light of the world within you. You are called the light of the world to shine it out. No one takes a lamp and puts it under a basket, but puts it on a lampstand and gives light for all who are in the house. Who are you shining your light for? We're going to draw these things together here very quickly, because when we talk about living a missional life, God sets up the mission for you. He says, this is what you're here on this earth for. You are here to glorify the Father, period. If there is any question about what you're doing here, you are here to glorify the Father. You are either living according to the God-given purpose of your life, or you are not. If you are, then there's a joy and a peace and a presence of God that comes in and allows us to live that way, right? If you are not, there is an anxiousness. There's an anxiety. There's an unfruitfulness and a feeling of, I just can never get there. I can never make it. I can never do enough. But you are in Christ. You're the light of the world. You're the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are a light that is placed on a lampstand so that all can see the light of Christ and may take in the light and know their next footstep. Like this story that Karen told about the shine of the light on the feet, right? But when we get to this part at the end, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What good works are we talking about? This is a question I also asked of the youth on Friday. What are good works? Spreading the good news? Going on a mission trip? Can you do good works while you're in your cubicle at work? Absolutely. Can you do it while changing diapers as a house mom? As a house dad? Whatever. I don't know what kind of world we're living in today. Any kind of anything you're doing, right? Changing diapers. Coming up at you, Brian. You can glorify God in that. There are possibilities for us to glorify God in everything we do. In fact, we are called to glorify God in everything we do. Can you be a police officer and glorify God? Yes. Can you be a doctor and glorify God? Absolutely, yes. Can you do all those things and not glorify God? And the answer is also yes. You can do all these things for yourself, or you can do all these things as the light of the world, a city set upon a hill, a light on a lampstand, shining before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You see, if our true purpose, our true goal, our true vision, which is about thriving, multiplying, and joy-filled life. That's the mission of this church, the vision of this church. If it is for every one of us, 100%, not the 80-20 and not the 20-80, but 100% of the people within the body of Christ to live thriving, multiplying, joy-filled lives, that means every one of us is growing to become a light that so shines before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. Not you. It's not about you. It's not about me. We don't do mission trips so we can go and have a good time. It's wonderful to see the way that God worked through His people Israel. But ultimately, if we're not there for His glory, to yes, perhaps be encouraged and enlightened in the things of the Bible, absolutely, but to pour our lives out into other people wherever we may go, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You see, by doing good works, it doesn't save you, but it does glorify your Father. And so a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world according to Matthew, understand that good works is not just like some kind of side product. Good works is what we are called to be as a people of God, not to save us, but because of the great grace of God upon my life, I am there to produce good works. Why? Because it glorifies the Father. That's it. So when we get all kind of messed up in our theology and we start thinking about, number one, we think of good works as being the thing that gets us to heaven, man, that is so unbiblical. It is by grace you're saved through faith, and it's not by your works, it's not by anything you do, that no man can boast about it, Ephesians 2 says. But you are God's workmanship, created for good works that God has prepared for you since the beginning of time. That's the next verse. It's actually up on my slide. We didn't get to that yet. But, you know, we're about to finish out here. But the challenge is this. How do you let your light so shine before men this week so that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. If that is truly your purpose, if that is truly what the purpose of God has been, it's set upon your life, then my question is this: how will you this week show the grace of God through your light and allow people to come to a great, hot, white worship of God? Talking about the Revelation song and how the people are just, you know, that vision of Revelation is that, oh, worthy is the Lamb. It will fall to our faces. And we will reverence God in a worship like we've never had. We can only taste it and touch upon it here. But I believe that our worship is supposed to be being stoked up. Our good works are part of our worship. Our listening, our devotion life is part of our worship. And it stokes us up so that when we come and we worship, perhaps through song, perhaps through the Word of God, that our worship and our hearts are stoked up to a white-hot worship, that hottest kind of flame within us, right? And you don't have to love singing. It's not about feel good and, you know, waving your hands or anything. It's not about that. It's about the intimacy of God within me, that I have come to a place where I and God, we can see each other face to face in this way, spiritually speaking. And that my worship is stoked up, that I am so in admiration and in joy, that it affects everything in my life. Everything. The way we talk to each other around here, the way we talk to our neighbors out there, it's all embraced by worship of God, glorifying Him. And He says, you know, let your good works do that. Let your good works prove out the great worship that is within you, so that they see your good works, your worship, and what? The world turns to glorify God the Father. That is our purpose as a body. That is our purpose as a people of God. Let your light so shine. Here's some other verses. 1 Peter 2:12. In case you're wondering if the Bible says anything else about good works, I'm going to give you just a few. Take a look. Have been studying this. This is amazing how much it says about good works. For all that we can say about, hey, it's not about good works, the Bible says a lot about good works. Because every time it talks about good works, it's talking about glorifying God through good works. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is that saying? The world looks at you, the Gentiles, they might speak evil against you, but even in the midst of their backstabbing and backbiting and talking down about you, in the midst of that, your good works are seen. Titus 2:14 says this: looking for a blessed hope and a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Why did Jesus give himself? So that you and I may be zealous for good works. Why? Because it glorifies the Father. Ephesians 2:10, we just said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's a little messed up there. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And Titus 3:8 says this: this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, and thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Why? Because it glorifies God. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and they may glorify your Father in heaven. Our Father God, we give this day to you. We give this life to you. We give this church to you. We pray, Lord God, that you will make strong the vision and the purpose within us. Oh God, that every person in this body will become thriving, multiplying, joy-filled followers of Jesus Christ. that in that thriving and in that multiplying, in that joy-filled life, we are people that are doing great work for the kingdom. Good works that draw people's attention to the Father and glorify Him. We glorify You today, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.